This is our time to answer the same question that Jesus asked the disciples. Who do you say that I am? And so let us consider who Christ is for us today. Names are important. Parents, do you remember how you agonized over choosing the right name for your child? Anyone agonize? Change their minds? You know, you go through the gamut. Oftentimes, we try to find a name that has meaning, right? I think if you asked kids, ask your parents why they named, maybe you've already asked them, but find out what was the reason behind them naming you that particular name. Because I would imagine that there's a story behind it. Names give meaning, and they highlight values that are important to us. Our son is named Arpit Evan Yathri. And Arpit in Gujarati means it means dedicated to God. He goes by Evan, so, you know, I don't want you to be confused, but for us, his first name has a meaning. And in fact, some people change their names, don't they, to reflect who they are and the meaning that they want to be identified with. And as Christians, our foundation, our identity is connected directly to Christ. In fact, in the name, right? Christians. Christ is at the core, at the heart of who we say we follow. And so we claim Christ as our Savior, our Messiah, God in human flesh. And my friends, these are weighty titles. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anyone's Lord. I don't want to be anyone's Savior. I cannot be the Messiah. I can't even save myself. We need one who is above it all and who is able to save us. And we come together today because we do have a Lord that came to this earth to save us and to bring us into his presence and to help us with all these. And this life is crazy. Who has a perfect life? No one. Yeah, not me. We need help. And so we are blessed to be able to come together as a church, not the building, the people of God, and come in the presence of the one who made it all and who is so willing and so interested in helping us through it all. So let us pray today as we really consider this question, who is Jesus for us? Because I think if I ask that question, we'll have an answer. But I really think sometimes we get used to saying some things that they lose its meaning. Today, I pray that we would really truly consider who is Christ for us. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, this morning as we come to your presence, Lord, we confess that we're just going about the things and the busyness and going through the motions of doing things that we always do it. But right now, Holy God, enter into each person. Stop us where we are. Remind us of just what a privilege and what a enormity it is to be able to gather in the presence of the God of all creation. Help us, God, to understand who Christ is and what he teaches and what it means to be a follower of Christ and claim him as our Savior. All this we pray in his holy name. Amen. Amen. So Jesus asks his disciples, what are people saying? You know, he starts with there. He's God, yeah. So he knows how to do things. He helps to build and get us there. He asks his disciples first, what are people saying that I am? Who the Son of Man is? And so the disciples, they reply, well, some people think that you're John the Baptist come back to life. Some people think you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. You see, people thought that Jesus was a person, a good person, a holy person, but a person. A prophet is one who speaks for God or by divine inspiration. So they thought that he was one of the prophets. Now, don't get me wrong. Prophets are important, and they are someone we should listen to. But Jesus is more than a prophet. He is the Messiah. And so to help now his disciples get to that understanding, Jesus asks his disciples, and he asks us the same question, but who do you say that I am? So Peter, you know Peter, we've heard about Peter. He jumps right in. He speaks what's on his heart. Have you ever met people who are just, you know, quick on the draw, and they just tell you they blurt out things, good and bad, but they blurt out, well, Peter was one of them. And while Peter didn't quite understand how he said that, God, Jesus knew that it was God who gave him this revelation, because Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter didn't even understand what that meant, because if he did, he would not have denied Christ, right? But we'll get to that story another time. Peter, through God's inspiration, claims Jesus, declares his identity. And because he declared Jesus being the Son of God, in fact, that also formed Peter's identity as a follower of the Son of God. So my friends, don't take the name Christian lightly. It means you and I are connected to the God who made it all, to the God who is in charge of all things, to the God who can help us through anything and everything this world can throw at us. You and I are connected to the very source of all creation. What an amazing, if you stop to think about it, that's an amazing thing. Have you ever stopped to look at a sunset? Sunrise? Oh my goodness. Doesn't it just blow your mind away that how that's created? If you've watched any of those science stories, and if you're in school, the kids will tell you, right? You learn about biology and how things are made, the intricacy with which all things come into being, and it just blows and boggles our mind that God who made all things made you. And not only just made you, he came to this earth to bring you into a relationship and call you his child. My goodness, that, my friends, is amazing news. So I don't know what's going on in your life today. And I would imagine we all have struggles, do we not? Don't we have concerns? Don't we have things that just are so weighty and heavy? But today, as you gather here, remember who Christ is, who you have claimed him to be. When you joined the church, you made those vows that I believe in God, I believe in Christ, my Savior. You know, when we come, well, we're not going to come physically, but we're going to have communion, right? One of these days we're going to come. We'll get there. But you receive, you proclaim Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. So don't take those words lightly. The things you say matter. In this church, what we do, not just what we say, what we say matters, but how we live it out matters more, my friends. So let us not take that lightly. If you've struggled with finding your purpose, if you have questions about things in this life that are just, we don't get it, things that are mind-boggling, if you have situations in your life where you struggle to understand, know that the Lord of all creation sees you. He sees each and every single one of us. He loves us, and he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. That is who Christ is. So the simple answer to all these things that we face is Christ. Go to him. Seek him. Try to live what he says, and try to really put him as the Lord and Savior. Simple, right? Yeah, no. Yes and no. It is the hardest thing to give up control. How many of you, if I were to say, okay, starting tomorrow, I'm going to give you an itinerary and schedule of what you're going to do and where you're going to live, and it will be different than where you are today. How many of you would jump at that? I don't see any. Oh, you would, Joan. Joan, I love it. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? That is what Christ calls us to do. As an itinerant pastor in the United Methodist Church, that's what we're called to do. Do I like it? No. But when God's in charge, it all turns out for the best. Being human, we have to acknowledge that it's a struggle giving up control. But when we give it to the one who came to give us life, and life in abundance, it becomes easier and a joy, my friends. So I don't know what it is that you're struggling with, but I pray that you would seek the answers and you would indeed follow the one you claim as your Savior.
C.S. Lewis.
Have you heard of C.S. Lewis? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's a famous one. Well, he did not first believe in God. He was an atheist. A lot of things happened in his life. His mom was ill and died of cancer. And you know, when bad things happen, don't we question where God is? Don't we struggle when things happen that hurt us? There's no God, or we step away from God. Humanly speaking, that's what C.S. Lewis did. But the good news is, my friends, God didn't give up on him. Kept calling him back. And so, fast forward, this is not a sermon about C.S. Lewis's life, but fast forward, C.S. Lewis became a believer, a theologian, and one of the gifts that God had given him was to write, and he wrote well. One of his books, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis talks about how people view Christ. One way that people look at Christ, that he was a great moral teacher. You might have heard that, right? You know, people think, yeah, Christ, sure. You know, with the things he said, I'm with him. But they stop at accepting him as Lord and Savior, his claim to be God. They draw the line there at accepting him as that. But here's the problem with that. And C.S. Lewis, I love how he puts it. He says this. He points out that a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not, my friends, be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic, a crazy man, on the level of the man who says he's a poached egg. Well, if someone said they're a poached egg, wouldn't you think they're crazy? I think so. Well, Jesus said he's the Son of God. That is, to some people, crazy. Or he would be the devil of hell, meaning a liar. So, my friends, we have to make a choice. We can't pick and choose the things about Jesus that we like, that make sense to us, and then ignore the things that don't make sense. Because either he was the Son of God, he is the Son of God who he claimed to be, or he was a liar or a lunatic. You can't be a little pregnant, my friends. Well, not you. One cannot be a little pregnant. Either you're all in or not. My friends, we cannot be half-hearted Christians. We cannot call ourselves followers of Christ and not fully claim Christ and seek him as the Lord of our lives. We can't do things our way and then say, no, I believe in Christ, I'm his follower, but then we go back home and then we make decision based on our own understanding. My prayer for us is in this church that in every single thing we do, if we indeed, and I think we do claim Christ as our Lord, that we would seek his guidance and his will before doing anything. Don't get me wrong. A lot of the ideas that people have brought forth and that will bring forth are good. But unless and until it's what Christ wants for his church in this moment and in this time, it will be meaningless. Unless and until it is what Christ wants for your family at this time and at this juncture, it will be meaningless. So my friends, I urge you, the decisions you make when it comes to your career. Kids, I urge you, the decisions you make when you choose a college, when you choose friends, when we choose a life partner, when we make a decision about where we're going to move, what we're going to eat, I pray that we would truly seek Christ's guidance, his will for us, our families and our children, and his church, not the building. Because even if this building, pray not, but if there's a fire, it's happened. I pray that we would still remain the church of God because the foundation is Christ. Amen? Amen. And when we do that, my friends, what does Jesus tell us? That the gates of Hades will not prevail. That means no matter what the enemy wants to work in your life for evil, and make no mistake, there is a war for your soul. There is an attack. Do not minimize the struggles you have anytime. So let me bring it to a more practical sense. Anytime you are prevented from serving God fully, from, let's say, coming to church, from praying, from forgiving someone, all those things are things that the enemy is doing to keep you away from the one who came to give you life and life in abundance. John 10, verse 10, we hear Jesus tell us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Don't you want to have life in abundance? Don't you want joy and peace and hope? And don't you want to live fully? But the reality is, my friends, when Jesus is not the Lord of our lives, when we make decisions that make sense to us, what happens is that we struggle. What happens is that we will be in pain. We suffer. And we miss out on the joy that Christ came to give to us. And I know life is hard. I am not minimizing the struggles we have. We face death, right? We face diagnosis of terminal illness of our loved ones. I know many of you have faced that. We've lost a loved one at a young age. We have questions. We hurt. We've lost a home. We've lost jobs. We struggle when our kids struggle, do we not? We do know how hard life is, so I'm not minimizing any of these things. But what I am saying is that there is one who can save you. There is one who came to give you a future filled with hope, who has plans for you, plans for his church, for good, for our kids. He wants to give them a future that reflects the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Can you imagine a church where we forgive easily? Where there's joy? Where we come in, we know whatever we're facing in this world. And how many of you are in workplaces that are toxic? I'm not going to raise my hand. I would imagine some of you are. How many of you are in schools that feel toxic, right? There are things going on, and you didn't raise your hand, but I know. Work out there, secular job, it's not easy. Because people do not follow Christ as their Lord. They either think he's a liar or a lunatic. And kids, do you know our kids are ridiculed for their faith? Because that's what the world does. That's the enemy ruling it now. But the good news is, my friends, Christ has promised us a future filled with hope. He has said he will come again. And he will make things right. And so, we hear that news over and over again. Joel 2, in the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, my friends, the whole of the Bible is a promise after promise of God being faithful to his people, even when we disobeyed, and even when we became the God of our lives. You know, it started with Adam and Eve, right? They chose to follow satisfy their desire. The fact is, it's our sin that brought with it death because Adam and Eve made an a la carte decision. You know what an a la carte decision is? You pick and choose what you like. And unfortunately, the fact is, in this world, we often pick and choose what we like about our faith and we follow accordingly. Can't do that if we claim Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's all or nothing with him. You can't pick the things that you liked about what Jesus said. And the other things that are difficult, or like, for example, let me just share with you what offended some people about what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 8, Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his whole life, he cannot be my disciple. This offended some people, and it might offend some of us today. Wait, you're telling me that I can't love my own child and my own family? That I can't spend time with them? I can't want the best for them? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying he has to be first. And the word hate, you know, it's in context. He's trying to make a point. He's saying that God has to be first. Case in point, Abraham. Abraham was asked to give up his own son because Abraham ran the risk of putting his son before God. My friends, the definition of God is that he is first. Our children cannot be first. Our careers cannot be first. This church cannot be first. Only Christ can claim that place. What offended other people? Luke 18, verse 22, Jesus said to the rich young man, "One thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Tithing, giving to God 10%, that's the minimum, my friends. Giving to God what he's already given to us, that's hard for us. And yes, I understand, practically speaking, you have to live. You have to, absolutely, God does not want you to go hungry. But my friends, when we put him first, when we give him what he's already giving to us, he will provide for our needs in ways that we cannot even imagine. Test him, taste him, and see how good he is. You will find that God is faithful. He will never let you down. He will not do things your way because he is God. But my friends, when we put him first in all these things and give sacrificially of our time, talents, and yes, resources, see how the kingdom of God will be brought right here on earth. That's a privilege you and I have if we truly claim Christ to be our Savior. So my question to you is today, who is Christ for you? Who is Jesus for you? If indeed he is your Lord, then do you seek him in everything? Do you put him first? Do you follow him even when it doesn't make sense? I pray that in this church, in this place, and in our families, that you and I would call on the name of the Lord so that not only can we be saved, but our children, our community, and our world be saved. Acts 2:21, that's what Peter said, the same message. You know, Joel said that message, Jeremiah said that message, Isaiah, all the prophets, all the people of God said that message, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Peter says it. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you're struggling, if you've got things going on in your life, my friends, that are heavy, that are hard, that you've worked so hard to fix and it's not working, you're struggling, call on the name of Jesus. Stand firm on his foundation of the promises he made. Stand on him. And there's nothing that you cannot get through, even if this building burns down. And I said it 3 times, not that I'm trying to make that happen. It's an illustration, right? Because the church is not the building. The church is not the things we do. The church is each one of us living as Christ called us to live, claiming him as our Lord and our Savior. So no work, no power of the enemy will prevail, my friends, to take your joy and your peace if we claim Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Amen.